Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'a Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the top of Daf Yud Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our topic heading, which we call the Nosei. We have written there, Tevilas Kelim Bevein Hashmoshes, the immersion of vessels in a mikveh at the time of day that we refer to as Bein Hashmoshes. We would call that dusk, namely after sunset, before the appearance of three stars. That time period is a time period of doubt whether it's considered part of the previous day or already considered the beginning of the next day. So this time period will have significance with regard to Yom Tov and Bechol during the weekdays. It is important to emphasize that in order for a vessel that was defiled, that was Tomei, and you are interested in purifying it through immersion in a mikveh, in order for the mikveh immersion to be effective, it has to be followed by the sunset, which we call Harav Shemesh. So the Tevilah, the immersion, must be by day. And then, after that, we have Harav Shemesh, and that will purify the vessel. We have already learned that Yom Tov is a day during which we do not immerse vessels. And as far as the reason for that is, so we saw in our previous shiur a list of reasons. Four reasons were given why Tevilas Kelim is not to be done on Yom Tov. So now we continue with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Kli Shenitma Me'erev Yom Tov, a vessel that had become Tomei before the onset of Yom Tov, Ein Madbilin Oisoi Bein Hashmoshes, one is not to immerse it at the time period we described as dusk at Bein Hashmoshes. This is a time that it might be night, and as such, it would then have the status of Yom Tov. Reb Shimon Shizuri Omer, Af Bechul Ein Madbilin Oisoi, even during a weekday, you wouldn't immerse a vessel at Bein Hashmoshes, but they should sorach Harav Shemesh. Because Tevilah, in order to be effective, it has to be followed by sundown. And when you're at Bein Hashmoshes, you're in effect after the Shkia Sachama, after the sundown. So the Gemara asks, V'tana Kama lo boy Harav Shemesh? Does the Tana Kama not also require Harav Shemesh? The Tana Kama gave us the impression that only Bein Hashmoshes leading into a holiday is problematic, but not during the rest of the year. Well, how could that be? Everyone knows that in order for Tevilah to be effective, it has to be followed by the setting of the sun. So this source needs explanation. We have to explain, what does the Tana Kama and Reb Shimon Shizuri, what are they arguing about? In order to deal with that, Omar Rava, Ashkachtinu L'Rabbonon Debeira, V'yasvi V'kamri, I found the Talmidim, that Rabbonon Debeira, the students that were Yasvi V'kamri, they were sitting and they were saying and they were offering an explanation. This Gemara structure where a Rav finds the Rabbonon Debeira, Yasvi V'kamri, they were find students explaining something, almost all the time is followed by his reaction to what they say. We do this, we illustrate this with our markings with a squiggle underline and numbering. So you can see we've squiggle underlined the Yasmi Karmi, that's what they are saying. And then on the first wide line, you notice the Amina Laho Ano, also in the middle of the line, squiggle underline. And that's where Rava says, Anai said to them, and that will be followed by his explanation as to what the Tanaic controversy in this source is all about. So, we continue. Rava says, I found them saying, B'machshavosoi nikeres mitoch maisov komifligi. Can you discover a person's knowledge, his intent, his machshava, through his actions? So that this source is really featuring a case where more information has to be brought to the fore, and that is, there is someone that is running to a mikveh with a vessel at the Bein HaShmoshes time of day. The fact that he's running to a mikveh at this time of day, what does this reveal to us about the individual? So let's go on. The Hechidami, and what is it talking about? What is it like? Kegon denokid mona biyodei, someone is holding a vessel in his hands. V'roi v'ozil bein hashmoshes lagbul, and he's running during the bein hashmoshes time of day to immerse it in a mikvah. Given those circumstances, we now have a machlokes tanoim. Mor sovar, hi, the Tanakama holds, the haidekar rohid v'ozil, the fact that he is running. Meide yoda de boy her of Shemesh. It reveals to us that he knows the law. He knows the halacha. That in order for a tevila to be effective, it has to be followed by sundown. Umor Savar, and Rav Shimon Shizuri holds, that the fact that he's running to immerse it in a mikveh at that time doesn't show us anything about his halachic knowledge. Simply, machmas malachtoi hu dekoroi. He's running because he has other things to do. Some malocha that he has to take care of. So he's running to save time. The Gemara itself reveals very little. In order to fill in the missing pieces, Rashi explains everything. So we take a look at the Rashi, further down from here, in the narrow lines, Meida Yoda Deboi Herav Shemesh. The Tanakama holds that if you see someone running Bein HaShmoshes to immerse a vessel in a mikveh, he knows that Herav Shemesh is required in order to achieve purification. Vainu Deroi, and that explains his running. Kosovar, he thinks, L'haspik Koidim Yisiyas Hayom, he thinks that he'll make it to the mikveh before the actual setting of the sun. Ukshayirah shelo yaspik, and when he realizes that he doesn't make it, hayu lubala mikveh goyim tefilasa. Since he eventually reaches the mikveh anyway, he finishes off the job. He immerses the vessel. Umamtin, he will wait, however, milishtamesh bo, in using the vessel, ad shiyariv shimsho lemochar, until tomorrow's sunset. Hilkoch, Bein HaShmoshes de Yom Tov. Therefore, only with regard to Bein HaShmoshes of Yom Tov do we have a real problem. Osir, it's osir for him to immerse the vessel. Mishum demakbil be Yom Tov shelo letzorch, because he's doing an immersion of a vessel on Yom Tov for no Yom Tov reason. It's not going to be useful for him because he needs tomorrow's sunset. Today's mikveh, which is after today's sunset, when is the sunset that's going to be relevant? That's going to be tomorrow's sunset. That'll be at the conclusion of Yom Tov. So he won't be able, so as far as we're concerned, the vessel is still partially defiled. It's not tohor yet until tomorrow's sunset. So if he's going to immerse it now, it's not an immersion that has any value for his Yom Tov use if he wants to use it as a tohor vessel. It's not going to be tohor till after Yom Tov. Aval b'choil lo mochinon bay. However, if we see someone like this on a weekday, has no connection to Yom Tov, a standard weekday, we're not going to protest or challenge him. It's clear what his intent was through his running. He knew he was trying to get the hair of Shemesh in through his action of running. So we don't have to educate him any more than he's already educated. So that's as far as basic knowledge that you need hair of Shemesh. The only problem arises, as we just saw in the Rashi, with regard to this fellow who ran to the mikveh, and he reaches the mikveh at Bein HaShmoshes, when Yontif is coming in, we have to tell him, stop, don't immerse the vessel now, because your immersion now is now at a time when it might actually be Yontif, and it's an immersion that has no Yontif value, because it won't be useful, the vessel won't be useful to you till tomorrow evening, till after the sunset at the conclusion of Yom Tov. The next opinion, that was the second Mar Sovar, held that his running doesn't reflect upon his knowledge of halacha to begin with. Therefore, if you see someone immersing a vessel, Bein HaShmoshes, even during the week, we have to tell him, listen, sir, the immersion is not effective till tomorrow night. So that you can immerse it now during the weekday at Bein HaShmoshes, but don't use the vessel. And we have to tell him that. He doesn't know. Ve'amino leho ano. We continue in the Gemara. After Rava heard their presentation, their explanation of the source at the top of the page, he says, "B'machshavoso nikeres mitoch maisov dekule amo lo pligi." Everyone, even Rav Shimon Shazuri, would agree that in under normal circumstances, if someone is running, and at that time of day, it's obvious that he knows he was trying to catch the hair of Shemesh before it happens. In other words, trying to get the mikveh tevila done before hair of Shemesh. And if he gets there after the actual setting of the sun, we don't have to point out the halacha to him that the vessel is not going to be useful till tomorrow night. He knows that. So what are they arguing about? Kipligi, the argument in the source above, kagon the itmi the pochos mikadosha. We're dealing with a person that has a vessel, who in fact is running at Bein HaShmoshes. However, he's running with a vessel that had contact with a dead sheretz. A sheretz is one of their eight creatures that fall under the category of sheretz that the Torah enumerates, that when they're dead, they communicate defilement. They defile vessels. So he has a vessel that came into contact with a very small amount of sheretz meat. Pochos mikadosh is less than an adosh is a type of bean. It's a very small bean. It sometimes is translated as a lentil. So it's less than an adosha size amount of sheretz, dead sheretz flesh. We should point out that the halacha says a sheretz is metame, a sheretz defiles only if you have an adosha quantity. Here we have someone that is running Bein HaShmoshes with a vessel that came into contact with less than an adosha, and v'osa lekame derabonon, and this fellow is coming. This fellow had come on another occasion. L'shuli bebochos michadoshet miolailo. He on another occasion. We know this, but we recognize him. He had asked the rabbi, "Does a pochos michadosha communicate tumah or not?" In other words, he does not know that halacha. So that person with whom we are familiar as not knowing the halacha pochos mikadosha is now seen running Bein Hashmashos with a kli trying to get to the mikveh. Mor Sovar, Reb Shimon Shazuri, the second opinion in the source, holds midaha lo gomir, from the fact that he doesn't know the shiurim of tuma, he doesn't know those halachas of tuma quantities in terms of how much is needed in order to defile. Harav Shemesh nami lo gomir. This guy also doesn't know the halacha of Harav Shemesh. Umor Sovar, the Tanakama holds Hohu de lo gomir. This is what he didn't know. The halacha of Adosha, Pochus Mikadosha is not Metame, Ho Harav Shemesh gomir, but the halacha of Harav Shemesh he does know. So therefore, according to the Tanakama, this guy that we are familiar with, that we recognize, that didn't know the halachas of Pochus Mikadosha, we see him running Harav, we see him running Bein Hashmoshes to a mikveh. As far as during the week is concerned, we don't have to tell him, you know, that you can't use the vessel till tomorrow night. He knows those halachas. Only on Yom Tov, we have to tell him, listen, you can't be toivel it now. You can't immerse it now because it's Bein Hashmoshes and it might be Yom Tov already. Reb Shimon Shazuri, on the other hand, says, if we didn't recognize this guy to be ignorant, so we wouldn't have to say anything to him. However, he's demonstrated his ignorance already with regard to Pachas Mikadosha. He is also considered ignorant regarding the halachas of Harav Shemesh. And therefore, not only on Yom Tov would we have to stop him, but even during the week we'd have to inform him not to use the vessel, because the Harav Shemesh has already taken place. You have to wait till tomorrow night. So as we saw this Gemara, just to go over the basic structure, we had a Tanaic source featuring someone running to a someone immersing a vessel, Bein Hashmoshes, Tanakama, and Rav Shimon Shazuri appeared, and they were arguing, and we had two opinions as to what they are arguing about. We had the Rabbanon de Bei Rav, the Asi V'Kamri, and then we had Rava's response to them. Continuing in the Gemara, Umadbilin Migav Legav. This appeared in the Mishnah, and we didn't explain anything when we learned the Mishnah, waiting for the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanon. Again, the background is that in general, it's osur to immerse vessels on Yom Tov. It's also to immerse tamei vessels on Yom Tov with the expectation that that will metahir them. Tonu Rabbanon, Ketzad Migav Legav. When the Mishnah says, Matbili Migav Legav, what does that mean? Haroise Lasos Gito Algav Kado, or Bado. The Kado, or Bado, some Girsos have Bado, Beis Abad is an olive press. Algav Gito, Ose, Agas, is a wine press. So if we look in the Rashi, what is happening? What's going on here? And we look at the Rashi on the second line under the Gemara text. Haroitze lasas gito algav kado. Mi shahoyu kelov temeim. Vitbilon ledas drichas zesov. A person who had some defiled vessels, and he immersed the vessels with the intent of they being used for pressing olives, for oil. Fenimlach lasos gito, and he had a change of mind that he wants to use those vessels that have already been immersed. They were immersed for olive oil pressing, but he changed his mind. He wants to use them for wine pressing. Oise, Rashi continues, gito algav tvila zu shehitbil l'shem kado. He can use the vessels, even though he intended, when he immersed them for olive oil making, he can use them for wine, for his wine. The ein tzorach lachzu ad bilam l'shem gas. He doesn't have to toivel them again for wine. Vahi tvila shnia habol ahachmer atzma hatbil kotoni masnisin shu matbil biyom tov she'ein kan tikun kli v'eino tvila Sharei Eino Tzricha. The Mishnah that spoke about Magdilin Megav Legav was in fact referring to this to a person who wants to toivel them a second time because of his change of mind. So the Mishnah tells us that since you don't really need to toivel them again, once you purify them through the initial tevilah before Yom Tov, true, you had in mind a specific purpose. The fact that you change your mind to use them for something else does not, by letter of the law, require a second immersion. The vessels have already been purified. If on Yom Tov you want to accept, you want to be extra stringent upon yourself and toivel them again a second time because of your change of mind, so that kind of immersion will be allowed because it doesn't, it's not an immersion that really accomplishes anything. What we have learned in the past is we avoid that kind of immersion that actually purifies, that actually accomplishes something. This second immersion is elective because you want to be machmir on yourself. We continue in the Gemara. Ketzad mechabura lechabura. What is meant by that which the Mishnah taught, that one can be makbil mechabura lechabura? Hoy oichel bechabura zu. Oichel is a reference to a korban pesach. Korban Pesach is the sacrifice that is offered on the 14th of Nisan and is eaten at the nighttime following, which we call what we would call the Seder night. It must be eaten in a group of people, and in order to fulfill the mitzvah properly, you have to be appointed to a group of people. And that appointment must take place before the animal is slaughtered. So let us say that a person had vessels that were tomei, and he immersed them with the intention of they being used for his eating. So he had some knives and forks, and they were tomei, and he intended them to be used for his Korban Pesach that he would eat with group A, and he toiveled them before Yom Tov, so they became tohor. But then he changed his mind to become part of a second group. Technically speaking, he doesn't have to toivel the vessels again. If he wants to toivel them again because of accepting a personal stringency upon him, that tevila, that immersion, can be done on Yom Tov. And that's what the Gemara says. And he now wants to, he changes his mind to eat with a second group. He's allowed to do that. He doesn't have to toivel it again, the vessels again. And if he wants to be machmir on himself and to be toivel the vessels because he's going to be eating with a group that he didn't originally intend to eat with, he can do that immersion on Yom Tov. At this point, we see a new Mishnah. And before we learn the Mishnah, we have a topic heading, the Nosei and Mivneh. This is a structural note that's combined with our topic heading, and we also indicate that this topic lasts until Omid Beis. The general topic is Nidorim Unidovos Biyontov. Those are voluntary offerings that one vows to bring in the course of the year. Can they be offered on Yom Tov itself? Let us first learn the Mishnah and then come back to the rest of our note. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevi'im Shlomim, V'ein Somchen Aleihem, Avolo Olos. One can bring shlomim sacrifices. Shlomim sacrifice is a type of sacrifice that all of the meat is eaten by the owner, and certain limbs are given to a kohen, but it's basically an animal that is eaten. Other than its blood, which is forbidden to be eaten and is sprinkled on the altar, and the innards that are also placed on the altar, the rest of the meat is eaten. So Beis Shammai says you can bring a shlomim sacrifice on Yom Tov, since it is something that you eat, and on Yom Tov you're allowed to do molochos for the benefit of eating, of food preparation, but not to be somech on it. Ein somech aleha means you don't place your hands on the animal. We didn't mention, but the Torah commands that there are certain sacrifices that the owner is to place his hands on the animal. And this placing of the hands is done where you actually place your weight on the animal as you're pressing down on its head. There is a rabbinic prohibition of using animals, not riding on animals or using them for other things, on Yom Tov. So Beis Shammai says you can bring the shlomim sacrifice, but you don't do the smicha on Yom Tov. Furthermore, Beis Shammai says avalo olos. You don't bring a korban ola. A korban ola is that kind of sacrifice that is completely burnt in the fire. So there are, of course, public ola sacrifices that the Torah commands to bring on Yom Tov. You actually bring them on Shabbos as well. But a personal korban ola, one is not to bring on Yom Tov. As far as the sources for this, Rashi quotes the psukim and the drushas from the psukim. The Gemara will deal with this at length later. Ubeis Hillel oimrim. Meviim shlomim v'oilois v'soimchen aleim. Beis Hillel goes to the other extreme. You can bring shlomim, you can bring olos, and you can also do smicha. We, in presenting the Mishnah, did not get into which shlomim and which olos we are talking about. On the side, we had started reading the Nosei, the topic heading, which we'll start again. Nedarim u'nedavos b'Yom Tov, voluntary offerings with regard to Yom Tov. Lefi Ula, according to Ula, Divrei Hakol, that's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, Oisrim Hakrovas Nedarim u'nedavos b'Yom Tov. Even Beis Hillel will say you cannot bring voluntary offerings on Yom Tov. So the argument in the Mishnah was not an argument concerning Nedarim and Nedavos, personal, voluntary type offerings. HaGemara Tavi Mokor, which is labeled Aleph, with a diamond Aleph, a Tanaic source, Shemelamed Shele Beis Hillel Makrivim Nedarim and Nedavos B'Yom Tov, Neged Ula. We'll have a Tanaic source that will challenge Ula, who's an Amoira. Achar kach haGemara meshiva b'shnei gishois. Afterwards, the Gemara will respond with two approaches, and the two approaches are introduced with triangles. If you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice the triangles. Number one, first approach is l'shanois hamokor shei kedivrei Ula. To alter, to change the text of the, to refine or change the text of the Tanaic source so it conforms with Ula. The number two, Gishas Rav Yosef, he appears in the second triangle. Rav Yosef's approach, the Emdas Ula, the position taken by Ula, Havya Machlokes Tanoim. Ula took a position that is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Ubekach hu mitzateit mokor beis. Therefore, he quotes a second source. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, there's no need to rewrite or to restate the mokar we labeled Aleph, keep it as it is. If you'll say, well, that's a challenge to Ula, Rav Yosef tells you Ula has his basis in a second Tanaic source, which is labeled Diamond Bays. So now we take a look at the Gemara. Omar Ula. Machloikes b'shalmei chagiga l'smoich v'oilas riyo likrav. The machlokes in the Mishnah is with regard to the placing of the hands, the smicha, on the holiday korban shlamim, known as the shalmei chagiga. That's an obligatory sacrifice that everyone brings on Yom Tov, and it's a korban shlamim. So Ula tells you that the machlokas concerns, do you do the smicha to the shalmei chagiga? But everyone agrees you bring it. You bring it means you slaughter it and you offer it, and you and everyone partakes of its meat. What else? Oilas riyo likrav. The oilas riyo is also a holiday-based korban ola. It's called an oilas riyo. The pasuk says shalosh pamim b'shana yera'eh kol zechurchem. Three times a year, so you are to appear in the Beis HaMikdash. So Riyah has to do with the thrice year holiday sacrifice, Korban Ola. So there's an argument, is that slaughtered and offered on Yom Tov proper? Bear in mind that Yomim Tovim have days in which there's an Isser Malacha, and then there's Chol HaMoed. Shavuos is another story. Shavuos has the 6 days that follow Shavuos are called the Yemei HaTashlumin or Yemei HaMiluim of Shavuos, which is also appropriate for offering these sacrifices. But that's just in very general terms. Let's continue in the Gemara. In the Gemara, the Beis Shammai Safri, Ula now presents the positions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Savri v'chagaisem oisei chag l'Hashem. From that pasuk we learn chagigo in oilas riyolo, that you can bring the chagigo sacrifice, that's a shlomim, but you cannot bring the oilas riyah on the Yom Tov itself. You'll have to wait for Chol HaMoed. Ubeis Hillel Savri l'Hashem. The pasuk said chag l'Hashem. Kol de l'Hashem. Anything that's divine, that is brought for the Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. In other words, a korban ola is Lashem, and that's acceptable on Yom Tov. Avol nedarim and nedavos, voluntary offerings, even shlomim, divrei hakol ein kraven b'Yom Tov. Everyone, including Beis Hillel, agrees cannot be brought on Yom Tov. V'chein omer Rav Abba bar Abba, nedarim nedavos ein kraven b'Yom Tov. The markings are very significant. So you'll notice we have a dot underline. Divrei kol ein kraven b'Yom Tov. This is Ula's approach to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Agreement that nedarim and nedavos are not offered on Yom Tov. Meisvei, a challenge. Omer of Shimon ben Elazar. Loi nechliku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al ilo she'eno shel Yom Tov she'eno kreva b'Yom Tov. Lo nechliku means there's no argument, there's agreement that an ola that's not Yom Tov related, you don't bring it on Yom Tov. That's a voluntary, someone vowed on their own to bring a korban ola. There's agreement. Even Beis Hillel, who is lenient, agrees this you don't bring on Yom Tov. V'al shlomim shem shel Yom Tov shekraven b'Yom Tov. This also is a point of agreement. A shlomim shem shel Yom Tov would be the shalmei chagiga. There's agreement. Even Beis Shammai agrees you do bring that. Bring it means you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, it's slaughtered, and it's offered as a korban. Al ma nechleku. So then what do they argue about? Al olashi shel Yom Tov, the olas ri'iyah. They will argue about that. Can you bring that on Yom Tov? The al shlomim she'enon she'yom tov. Notice the dot underlining. They also argue about non-Yom Tov Shlomim. Example of that is what categorizes Neder and Nedava, the voluntary offerings. Shebeis Shamayorim Lo Yavi, don't bring them on Yom Tov. Ubeis Hillel Oyrim Yavi, bring them on Yom Tov. And we noted above this, Udalok Ula. That's not like Ula. Let's use the markings to navigate. We have this dot underlining. Just line before, Shlomim Shenel Shiyom Tov, and above that we wrote Net Nedarim and Nedavos. And Beis Hillel Oyrim Yavi, you bring Shlomim Nedarim and Nedavos on Yom Tov. What did Ula say? So you go back to your dot underlining, and you will have noticed that just before that, the term Nedarim and Nedavos came, including Shlomim. Everyone agrees you don't bring it. And that everyone includes Beis Hillel. Here, Beis Hillel is saying, in this Tanaic source, you do bring it. Shlomim Nedarim and Nedavos. So the Tanaic source counters Ula. Answer, Tritz V'eim Ahachi. Tritz means straighten something out. To litaretz is to answer a question. It means, and here it is, it's an answer. It means we have to straighten out the source that presented a problem. Before we read the text, what I'd like to do is take full advantage of the markings and show how the restated text will defend Ula. So what we do is we look at the markings. In the restated text, Roman numeral number 1, you see lo nechliku. There's no argument between Beis Shammai and a dot underlined in Beis Hillel. And another dot underlined, Ushlomim She'enon Shel Yom Tov. And it says after that, She'en Kraven B'Yom Tov. We're trying to highlight the minimum amount that is necessary to be emphasized. So what do we see in this restated source? You'll notice how we moved from the end of the original source, Beis Hillel, regarding the Shlomim, the Darim and Nedavos. It's moved up to the beginning of the source in this restatement, so that it's this point is not a machlokes. The Shlomim Shenem Shiyom Tov are not offered, according to everybody. They're not offered on Yom Tov. And that is like Ula. So now let's reread the source. What we tried to do just now is to emphasize what your eyes should emphasize. The rest of it is basically the same as we said before. Don't be confused by the details. So we say, Tritz V'eim Ahochi. In defense of Ula, we reread the source. Amar Reb Shimon Elazar, Loi nechliku Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel al Ula u'Shlomim she'einon shel Yom Tov. She'ein Kraven B'Yom Tov. If it's a non-Yom Tov sacrifice, even if it happens to be a Shlomim, it's a non-Yom Tov sacrifice, it's a voluntary sacrifice, you do not offer it on Yom Tov. That is like Ula. And what else is there no arguing about? V'al Shlomim She'ein Shel Yom Tov, She'kraven B'Yom Tov. Yom Tov, the Shalmi Chagiga, the Yom Tov Shlomim, even Beis Shammai says you offer them. Al Ma Nechliku, what do they argue about? Al Ula Shishel Yom Tov, the Olas Re'ia, Shebeis Shammai Omrim Lo Yavi, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Yavi. All of that is the same as before. Rav Yosef Omar, now Rav Yosef, having heard the objection from Diamond Aleph source raised on Ula, and he also apparently heard the answer that was given, Rav Yosef says, Tanoi Shaklis Me'almo. Literally translated, Rav Yosef is saying, are Tanoim removed from the world? In other words, as Rashi says, do you not find a Tanaic basis for Ula without having to rewrite a source? There's no need to redo source introduced with Diamond Aleph. There's a source, Diamond Beis, that will serve as the basis for Ula. So we have the issue then is a machlokes tanoim, and Ula is home free because he has a tanaic source upon whom to base himself. So Rav Yosef goes on to say, Tanoihi, the issue is a machlokes tanoim, Bisanya, and here we have a tanaic source, and hopefully as we go through the source, we will be able to show you how Ula has his support here. So what does it say in the source? Shlomim aboy machmas yom tov b'yom tov. Shlomim that are brought because it's yom tov, those are holiday-related shlomim sacrifices. Beishamai omrim somech aleim me'erev yom tov, v'shochaton b'yom tov. Beishamai says that the smicha, the placing of the hands on the animal, that has to be done before yom tov, but the actual slaughtering and offering of them, they can be done on yom tov. This is meat that is sacrificial meat that you'll be eating on yom tov. Ubeisila omrim somech aleim b'yom tov v'shochtan b'yom tov. Beisila is more lenient and says you can do the smicha, or you have to do the smicha on yom tov. You don't do it before yom tov, and you slaughter them on yom tov. There's a detail that Rashi adds that you should be familiar with when the source speaks about shlomim that come machmas yom tov. We mentioned the shalmei chagiga. There's another kind of korban that is also brought, is called shalmei simcha. Let's not get into details so as not to become confused. But we continue at the top of Amud Beis. Avol nedorim unedavos divrei akol ein kraven b'yom tov. Does this sound familiar? Nedarim and Nedavos, those are the voluntary type sacrifices. Everyone agrees, meaning even Beis Hillel will agree, they are not offered on Yom Tov. That is what Ula said, and that is what Rav Yosef meant when he said that the issue was a machlokes tanoim, and in this source, we see, like Ula, that Nedarim and Nedavos, voluntary type offerings, even if they happen to be shlomim, everyone agrees, are not brought on Yom Tov. As we go on, we glance at the side, we have an osei, a topic heading, and indicate hemshef. This is a continuation. And Agamora Mar'eh, the Gemara will show us, Shiesh Machloikis Tanoyim Noisefes Shemak Bila, that is parallel, Machloikis Shebesoifam and Aleph, between sources Aleph and Beis, that in the diamonds, Be'im, regarding the topic of Nedarim Unedavos Kraven B'yomtov. Are Nedarim Unedavos offered on Yom Tov? So that machlokis will appear here as well. However, a very important note is seen to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice a nun. That nun is a nekud, it's a long point. In order to develop this point, we have to go through most of this omid. So, as they say, be patient, and it's going to take us a little while till we are able to bring out the machloikes, the parallel machloikes tanoim. Disanya. So we continue in the Gemara. Ein mevien toida b'chag ha-matzos. One does not bring a korban toda. Korban toda, we indicated, we wrote in above, or nedarim u'nedavos, a type of voluntary offering. It's an offering that's called, without getting into details and why one brings it, but it's just important for us to focus. It's in the realm of nedarim u'nedavos. A korban toda is not to be brought on Chag HaMatzos, on Pesach. The korban toda, in addition to a sheep animal that's brought, 40 loaves of bread are brought along with it. The 40 loaves of bread are divided into four different kinds of baked goods, and one of those four types is chometz. And Chag HaMatzos is Pesach. Passover is certainly not the time to have any chometz around. So you don't bring a korban toda, which is a, as we said, it's a korban, it's an animal korban that is accompanied by loaves of bread. You don't bring that on Passover. Bipnei chometz shebal. V'lo ba'atzeres, bipnei shuhu yom tov. And you don't bring it on Shavuos either, because Shavuos is, there's no chol hamoed. So don't bring it on a holiday. Holiday is very much like Shabbos. It has melacha restrictions, and a korban toda, being that it's nedarim u'nedavos, so you don't offer it on Yom Tov. Avol, Mevi Adam Toidaso b'chag HaSukkos. However, one can bring a korban toida during the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos. Chol HaMoed of Pesach, he can't bring a korban toida because it has chometz, and chometz is also for the entire 7 days of Pesach. Sukkos, you can bring a korban toida during the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, the intermediate days. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Harehu Omer, the pasuk says, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, B'chag HaSukkos. This is a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Tes Zayin. We recommend to familiarize yourself with the psukim in Perek Tes Zayin, psukim Yud Gimel through Yud Zayin. This pasuk appears in that section of the Torah, and he says, Kol sheba b'chag HaMatzos, ba b'chag HaShavuos, b'chag HaSukkos. Anything that you can bring during Passover, you can bring during Shavuos and Sukkos. V'chol shelo ba b'chag HaMatzos, that which you can't bring during Pesach, einoi ba b'chag HaShavuos, b'chag HaSukkos. You can't bring on Shavuos nor on Sukkos. This will have to be explained later in the Gemara. Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon Oimer, mevi adam toidaso b'chag HaSukkos. He says you can bring a korban toda during Sukkos. The yotze ba yedei chayvasoi mishum simcha, the ein yotze ba mishum chagiga. This too will be explained later in the Gemara. But what he's saying is that if you bring he who brings a korban toda on Sukkos is able to fulfill his simcha requirement. We spoke before about shalmei simcha, which is a requirement involving having meat on Yom Tov. However, he does not fulfill with a korban todah his chagiga requirement, a special korban called shalmei chagiga. This, again, will be spoken about later in the Gemara. Omar Mar indicates a quote from the source we just read, and I know we're sounding a little repetitious, but don't forget, we have got a forest and we've got trees. We're in the middle of a very long point. The long point is to demonstrate there's a machlokas tanoim, can you offer nedarim and nedavos on Yom Tov proper? So we have a quote here. Ein mevi'in toida b'chag HaMatzos mipnei chometz sheba. The Gemara asks on this source that we just read, pshita, that's obvious. Omar of Ado Breid Rav Yitzhak, v'amri lo, another version of names is Rav Shmuel bar Ado. We're talking about the 14th of Nisan. The 14th of Nisan is Erev Pesach. That's the day on which you slaughter the Korban Pesach. And on that day, there, even though it's not the actual holiday, there is a prohibition during part of the day of having chometz. So the Tana says that you don't bring a toida on Pesach. It doesn't mean on Pesach proper. That's obvious. You don't bring a korban toida on Erev Pesach, on the 14th. What's the problem? Because if you were to bring it on the 14th, you'd have just the first couple hours of the day in which to be able to eat from it, to partake of it. After that, it becomes forbidden. So you're limiting, by bringing a korban toda on the 14th of Nisan, you're limiting the amount of time that would otherwise be available for consuming the korban. The kosavar, and the Gemara expels this out, ein mevim kochim lebeis hapsul. You're not allowed to bring sacrifices in such a way that its time is going to be limited. Its time, its zman achila, the time that you have for eating it, is you're going to be forced to limit it. That's the expression, lebeis hapsul, to bring it to a situation where it will become rendered unfit. You're not allowed to do that. So don't bring it on the 14th of Nisan, because if you would do that, you're bringing it in such a way that you're going to limit the amount of time that it'll be available to be eaten, and hence it will become, we'll say it become pasul prematurely. Rashi adds that by limiting the time available for eating it, when it will become it will then inevitably, or almost inevitably, become nosar. Nosar is a korban that is left over, left beyond its time. We continue. Another quote from above, in order to help you navigate through the sugya, bear in mind the markings that you see from time to time in the space to the side of the Gemara text. So we have a source from above, Alobat Serasim Eshu Yom Tov. You don't bring a Korban Todah on Shavuos, because Shavuos is a holiday. There's no Chol HaMoed. So you don't bring it on Shavuos itself, because it's Yom Tov. Kosavar Nidor Mudovus Ein Kraven B'Yom Tov. This Tana, that's our Tana Kama, the first opinion in this source, holds that you do not bring voluntary offerings on Yom Tov. And this, of course, reminds you of the discussion we had on Omer Aleph. And, of course, Ula said this very point, that everyone agrees you don't bring the Darim and Adavis on Yom Tov. Again, a quote from above. Avol mevi odom toidoso b'chag ha-sukos. That we saw above. Amos. When? It says you bring your korban todah on Sukkis. When? E lemo b'yom tov atzmo. If you think that it's a reference to bringing it on Yom Tov itself, v'lo amris v'lo batzersim beishu Yom Tov. You don't bring it on Shavuos because it's Yom Tov. So when you say you can bring it on Sukkis, it can't mean on the holiday portion of Sukkis. Ela b'cholo shel moed. It has to mean the intermediate days of Sukkis, the weekday portion of the holiday. Again, a quote from above. Reb Shimon Oimer, Harehu Oimer, B'chag HaMatzah Isu B'chag HaShavua Isu B'chag HaSukkos. He quoted from the Pasuk. And he learned, Kol Shebo B'chag HaMatzah Isu B'chag HaShavua Isu B'chag HaSukkos. That which comes on Pesach comes on Shavuos and Sukkos. V'chol Shelo Bo B'chag HaMatzah Isu Eino Bo B'chag HaShavuos U'B'chag HaSukkos. Now, the thinking right now is that at the end of this source, you're saying it won't come on Shavuos nor on Sukkos. The thinking is it won't come on Chol HaMoed. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera asks, maybe we should just add that when we said it won't come on Chol HaMoed, we were talking about a Korban Todah. And we were led to believe that the Korban Todah, which doesn't come on Pesach, so it won't come on Shavuos nor on Sukkos. And the thinking is it won't come even during the Chol, you won't bring a Korban Todah even during the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos. Well, why not? Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, according to Reb Shimon, Hashto salute misaltinon, you're allowed to collect wood from fields that's attached to the ground on Chol HaMoed. If you need wood on Chol HaMoed, you can go to the fields and cut wood from that which is attached to the ground, which would otherwise be a very serious type of malacha, and yet you're allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed. Nedarim u'nedavos mibaya. Do I need to tell you that you would be allowed to offer voluntary offerings during the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos? Omar Abaye, the Hakrova Kuli Alma Lo Pligi Deshori. Abaye says, as far as offering a Korban Toida or Nedarim u'nedavos during Chol HaMoed of Sukkos, everyone will agree that's allowed. So what were they? What's the argument then? What is Reb Shimon coming to add or to argue about? The Gemara answers, Ki Pligi. The argument in the Mishnah concerns a totally different topic. Lamekam olei bebal ta'acher. At what point does a person become guilty of korban delay? The Torah says that when one makes a vow to bring a sacrifice, that says lo sa'acher l'shamo, do not delay in bringing it. The question is, what constitutes a delay? Does that mean that the day you take you vow to bring a sacrifice, you've got to get immediately onto an express train with your animal to the Beis Hamikdash so that you don't lose any time and you bring it immediately. So basically, that is not what the Torah intends. However, what the Torah does intend, what constitutes a delay, that is a machloikes tanoim. In our shiur today, we're going to try to be bare bones. We're going to give the minimum amount of explanation. Rashi is quite a bit more elaborate, but we will try to give a bare bones explanation so as not to become overloaded with detail. What we know is there is a machlokes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon concerning the Isser of Baal Tachir, do not delay. Let's continue in the Gemara. Now, you can see we've underlined, double underlined the names for highlighting purposes. Tanakama Sovar. The Tanakama holds Sholosh Regolim Omar Rachmona Afilu Shelo Kesidron. A person could become guilty of delay if between the time that he vowed to bring his korban, and we're talking now about one who vowed to bring a korban todah, he will be guilty of delay if three holidays go by. Even if the three holidays are not going by in their chronological order. And what do we mean by chronological order? The beginning of the Jewish year is from the month of Nisan, and specifically for our purposes, Pesach. Pesach is followed by Shavuos, which is followed by Sukkot. So let us say a person vowed to bring a Korban Todah before Sukkot. If three holidays go by and he hasn't yet brought his Korban, he will be in violation of this command. It's a negative command, lo sa'acher l'shalmoy. What is Shelo Kesidron about that case? We mentioned that the order is first Pesach, then Shavuos, then Sukkot. That's how the holidays appear in the order of the Jewish calendar. However, three holidays going by, if he vowed, let us say, before Sukkot, so you'll have the following situation, Sukkot, and then following Sukkot will be Pesach, and then Shavuos. If he hasn't brought the Korban Todah by Shavuos, he will be in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So our Tanakama is telling us, and this is what's in his, it's hidden in his words, but when the Tanakama said, Avol mevi odom toidoso b'chag ha-sukos, the Tanakama was giving a piece of good advice. If someone had vowed to bring a Korban Todah before Sukkot, it's kedai, it's worthwhile for him to bring it by Sukkot. You see, by a Pesach he won't be able to bring it, and there's a basic assumption that people travel to Yerushalayim anyway during the holidays. So, if you vowed to bring your Korban Todah before Sukkot, you ought to bring it on your trip to Yerushalayim on Sukkot. Because if you don't, when you come for Pesach, you won't be able to take care of your Korban Todah because of the chometz. And if you're going to try, you're thinking of wait till Shavuos, but Shavuos is a Yom Tov, there's no Chol HaMoed there. You can't bring it on Shavuos either because it's only Yom Tov. And you see, you'll be over Baal Ta'achir if you wait that long. Because Baal Ta'achir is a problem even if the holidays did not pass in order. In their chronological order from beginning of year to end. That's the Tanakama's opinion. So if you summarize it, the Tanakama says Baal Ta'achir will be violated with the passage of three holidays. Rabbi Shimon, we continue in the Gemara, the second double underline, Rabbi Shimon Savar, Kisidron in, Shelo Kisidron lo. Rabbi Shimon says there is no Baal Ta'acher unless the holidays passed in order. Therefore, if you use the same scenario, a person had vowed to bring a Korban Todah before the holiday of Sukkot, it's not as pressing for him to bring it immediately that first Sukkot. The reason being is that as the holidays go by, let's say he doesn't bring it immediately. So Sukkot goes by, Pesach goes by, Shavuos goes by, three holidays went by. He's not over Baal Ta'acher because they didn't go by, they didn't pass in order, starting from beginning of year to end. You didn't have three in order. So in that scenario, he still has time to bring his Korban Todah by the next Sukkot, by a Sukkot a year from now. As long as he doesn't allow that second Sukkot to go by, he's safe. If that second Sukkot goes by, so he has allowed the three regalim to go by in order. According to Rav Shimon, it comes out that you can actually have five holidays going by as long as you bring it by the last one and you still have not violated Baal Ta'acher. As far as how each one comes to those conclusions, that is part of the detail that Rashi reveals. Let's continue in the Gemara. This again is a quote from above. You can see where it's coming from. We have a double star. You can align this with the mark above. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Oimer. Mevi Odom Toizdosoi Bechag Hasukos. You can bring a Korban Tola during Chag Hasukos Emas. When? Ilemo Becholo Shel Moyed. If Rabbi Lozer is telling you can bring it during the Cholomoyed of Sukkos, Hainu Tanakama. Notice the little star to the side of the Gemara. We saw that above. That's what the Tanakhama had said. He said that you can bring it during Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. So you wouldn't need Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon to repeat that which was already said. Elo b'Yom Tov. You can bring a Korban Todah during the Yom Tov of Sukkot itself. Because Sovar Nidorim Unidovas Kraven b'Yom Tov. And here's where we come to our climax. You notice the dashed underline and the arrow to the side. Notice, what have we done? We have now shown another Tanaic opinion that Nedarim and Nedavos, voluntary type offerings, as is the case of the Korban Todah, is something you imposed, you vowed to bring it on your own. You can bring it on the holiday proper. And you don't have to wait till Chol HaMoed. And so we have we have two Tanaic opinions in that source above. The arrows to the side help you align the two opinions. The first arrow is pointing to the line that says Kosavar Nedarim Davos Ein Kraven B'Yom Tov. Here, Kosavar Nedarim Davos Kraven B'Yom Tov. This is exactly the machlokes that Rav Yosef introduced us to on the bottom of Omid Aleph. And this is what was meant on the second line from the top, over here on this Omid, where the Gemara said Hani Tanoi Ki Hani Tanoi, which meant the Tanoim that will be seen as the Omid goes through, as we've now seen, Ki Hani Tanoi, parallel the Machlokis between the Tanoim in sources Aleph and Beis at the bottom of Omid Aleph. We continue. Regarding Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, if his point is that you can bring a Korban Todah on the holiday proper, he could have used this as example Shavuos as well. I grant you that Pesach isn't in the running because of the chometz factor in a Korban Todah, but why did Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon highlight Sukkos? Umay shno Sukkos denokat? Why did he feature Sukkos? Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon letamei. This emphasis on Sukkos is a reflection of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's opinion elsewhere. Desanya, Rabbi Shimon Oimer, lo yoimar chag hasukos. Now, this is a reference to the psukim that we referred to earlier, where the Torah in Parshas Re'eh, in Sefer Dvarim Perek Tazayin, the Torah features the different holidays. It speaks about Pesach, and then it speaks about Shavuos, and then the final section speaks about Sukkos. So in that section, the Torah mentions the three holidays again. It goes over the three holidays again. But in that last section, the Torah was already talking about Sukkos. So why, when it reviews the three holidays, does it mention Sukkos again? It could have mentioned just Pesach and Shavuos. Rashi points this out 5 lines from the bottom. Lo yomer chag hasukos kishichzir akosuv lazkirin l'sholosh regolim lebal ta'acher. When the Torah repeats itself to mention the three holidays for the purpose of communicating the halacha of do not delay in bringing your sacrifices that you voluntarily have taken upon yourselves. Lo hayotzorch lichtov ubechag hasukos. You don't have to say spell that out. Kevan shikosuv sholosh pomim bashona. It says there, and if you look in the psukim, you can see it in context. It says 3 times a year, and it says chagamatzos chagashvus. The memelia dana de bo hoya hakosuv medaber. Once you say 3 times a year, and you mention Pesach and Shavuos, I know that Sukkos is included because that's the topic in which this is found. Shabbaparsha Sukkos hu ois asuk ubo nichtav kosuv ze. So why does the Torah mention Sukkos after mentioning 3 times a year, Chag Matzos, Chag Shavuos, Chag Sukkos, when Sukkos didn't have to be mentioned? So we go back to the Gemara. Loman emar. So why was it stated? Lomar sheze acharoin. That in the context of Baal Ta'acher, Sukkos constitutes the cutoff point, meaning you need to have the holidays going by in their annual order before a person is in violation of Baal Ta'acher. This, of course, we saw earlier on the Omid. He, Reb Shimon, is the opinion that says that you need Kisidron. Okay, we saw that. We saw that above. We continue in the source. Rebbe Lozer of Rebbe Shimon Omer Lomar Shezeh Goreim. He has a unique approach to Baal Ta'acher, and he says that when Sukkos passes by, whether you vowed immediately before Sukkos, or you vowed several holidays before Sukkos, once Sukkos goes by, you are now in violation of Baal Ta'acher. So according to Rav Zalman Shimon, you can have a situation of very limited amount of time to bring your offering. If you vowed right before Sukkos, as soon as Sukkos goes by and you haven't brought your sacrifice, your Nedarim and Nedava sacrifice, your voluntary sacrifice, you will be considered a violator of Baal Ta'acher. Ze Goreim. It causes Baal Ta'acher to set in. We had seen this above. The arrow that you see to the left-hand side can be aligned with the arrow above, that one who brings a korban todah on Sukkos will be in fulfillment of simcha, but not in fulfillment of chagiga. We mentioned earlier that on Yomim Tovim there's an obligation to eat meat, and in the time of specifically in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, one would eat sacrificial meat, korban a shlomim meat, in order to fulfill the requirement of simcha. Now, just another word of background, and that is that when the Torah specifies an obligation, a sacrificial obligation, in order to fulfill that, you have to use personal funds and not try to kill two birds with one stone, namely, not try to use something else that's obligatory in order to fulfill a second obligation. And we'll try to be more specific as we go through the Gemara. So our Gemara is telling us that if you have a Korban Todah that you're bringing on the holiday, and you are going to partake of the meat, you'll be Yotze your Simcha obligation, but you won't be Yotze your Korban Chagiga obligation. So the Gemara, with regard to the Korban Chagiga obligation, the Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious that you're not going to be Yotze with the Korban Todah that you're bringing your Chiyuv Shalmei Chagiga. Why is it obvious? Davar Shebechovahu. The Shalmei Chagiga is something that is obligatory. The Pasuk says, V'chagoysem. The Chol Davar Shebechova Eino Bo Elo Min HaChulin. Something that is obligatory can be brought only, can be fulfilled only through something that's chulin, that's mundane, and not through something else that had been obligatory. Now, the Korban Todah is an animal that you would have, of course, its initial, let's say, sanctification is something that you did voluntarily. However, once the animal is sanctified as a Korban Todah, that is now an obligation upon you to bring it as a Korban Todah. So obviously, you can't expect to be able to bring a Korban Todah, which is now obligatory because you were makdish it as a Korban Todah, and expect to fulfill another obligation, namely the Shalmei Chagiga. Rashi points out, likewise, you can't use Meiser Sheni money, and you can't use other voluntary funds that you happen to have dedicated. So it's obvious. We have a Tanaic source telling me something that's obvious, that I can't be Yotze my Shalmei Chagiga with a Korban Todah. So why is it taught? Lo Tzricha. What it's taught, what it's teaching me is as follows. The Afal Gav de Porish. Even if you stipulated and specified when you sanctified your Korban Todah, you said, I'm bringing, I'm sanctifying, I'm dedicating this Korban Todah on condition that I can fulfill my Korban Chagiga obligation with this, we tell you it won't work. By the way, you probably are wondering, well then how is it that I can be Yotze Shalmei Simcha with a Korban Todah? Rashi answers that question further up on the page at the beginning of the narrow lines. The second narrow line, you can see where Rashi begins regarding that topic. And we dashed underline in the Rashi, V'yotze bo mishum Shalmei Simcha, and v'afal pi shemuchuyuv b'toida zu v'oymed, even though he's already obligated korban toida, the sam secha sagim v'samav v'chagecha l'rabbas kol minei smochei shel basar. The pasuk is fairly general with regard to this mitzvah of simcha. The pasuk said v'samachta b'chagecha, and with that we learn all kinds of simcha shel basar l'simcha midaloksi ve'veso shlomim v'chaltasham v'samachta. The pasuk does not say, and you shall bring shlomim and eat them there, and through that biyotze simcha. Regarding Simchas Yom Tov, Rashi points out you can fulfill that mitzvah of having meat on Yom Tov with other kinds of meat, even if it happens to be obligatory type meat. That's as far as Shalmei Simcha are concerned. However, as far as the Korban Chagiga is concerned, there's a specific command, the Chagoisem, which means you shall bring a Korban Chagiga on Yom Tov. And since that is a specified Korban, as opposed to the issue of the of Simcha, therefore the Shalmei Chagiga cannot be fulfilled through bringing something that's already an obligation on the individual. We continue in the Gemara as to why it was necessary to teach us that a Korban Todah will not be a vehicle through which to fulfill Shalmei Chagiga. We're saying even if you happen to stipulate in your initial sanctification of the Korban Todah that you want it to exempt you from a Shalmei Chagiga, it won't work. Kidebo amine Reb Shimon ben Lakish mirb Yochanan. And this is illustrated as Reb Shimon ben Lakish Reish Lakish had asked of Reb Yochanan, Ha'oimer harei alai toidav etzei bo yedei chagiga. Let's imagine someone who accepted upon himself, he vowed to bring a Korban Todah, stipulating that he will fulfill his chagiga through that. Or Hareini Nazir, person accepts upon himself to bring the Nazir sacrifices, the Agaleach Mimois Meiser Sheni. Agaleach literally has to do with the cutting of his hair. A Nazir is someone who accepts Nazirite status upon himself, not to drink wine, not to cut hair, not to defile to the dead, for a period of 30 days, after which he has to bring sacrifices. Now, this fellow is accepting Nazirite status upon himself, but adding a condition that he will be able to, agalech, to bring the sacrifices that enable him to cut his hair after the Nazirite period through bring sacrifices purchased with the Meiser Sheni money. Now, maybe a word or two about Meiser Sheni. There's a sabbatical cycle, 7-year agricultural cycle. The first, second, fourth, and fifth of those 7 years, 1/10 of a person's produce he is to bring to Jerusalem and eat it there. There's an alternative. He can redeem the sanctity of that tithe onto money. And that money is called Mo'os Meiser Sheni, and spend the money in Yerushalayim for the purchase of food. Now here we have a fellow that's accepting upon himself Nazirite status, or stipulating that he'll purchase his Nazir Korbonus with Mo'os Meiser Sheni. Can he do that? Mahu. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Nodur v'eino yotze. Nodur means his vow to bring the Korban Todah sticks. However, he won't fulfill his Chagiga obligation with it. Nozir v'eino megaleach. He does become a Nozir, but he won't be able to buy with Meiser Sheni money his Nozir Korbanos. He'll have to find personal funds for that. A bracketed section appears. Let's skip the brackets initially. Yosef Mremar v'Ko'omar l'ho Shmaitzo Mishmei Dinafshei. Mremar said over this teaching, namely, someone who says, I'm going to bring a Todah and stipulates that he's going to bring a Chagiga. He'll stipulate that he wants to exempt himself from the Chagiga obligation through his Korban Todah. And he said it will not work. And he said it on his own. That's what Mishmei Denafshe means. He said it in his own name, literally. Omale Ravina Lemaremar. Ravina points out to Rema Atun Hochi Masnisu La, you teach it thusly as a just as a matter of fact. You're saying it as a matter of fact and not stating it as if it were once a question that was raised and was subsequently answered. So Anan continues Ravina to Raimar and says, Anan ki debo mine Reish Lakish me Rab Yochanan masninon law. We teach over this halacha of Hare Olai Toda Ve'etzeba Yedei Chagiga. We say it over as a response that Rabbi Yochanan gave to Reish Lakish's question, as we saw already. In the bracketed section, we have a piece of Gemara that we have to go over now. Second line from the top. Hahu Gavra de Omar Lahu. There was a man who was dying, and he was issuing a command of what should be done with his funds. So he says to those by him, Havu le arba mea zuzi leploni velinsiv barti. Give 400 zuz, so an amount of money, to so-and-so, and he should marry my daughter. Omar Rav Papa. And here the issue is what legal effects does this command have? So Rav Papa says, Arba Meir Shokil, the person who was named, he gets the money. Ubarte, as far as the daughter is concerned, Iboy Lo Nosiv, if he wants to marry her, fine. If not, not. In other words, the money he gets anyway. Taimo the Omar Havule, the Linsiv. The reason for this is the order in which the gentleman spoke. The person who was dying said, give him the money. And then he added the issue of marry the daughter. Aval e Omar, if he had changed the order and said, Linsiv the Havule, in other words, he says, I want so-and-so to marry my daughter and give him 400 zuz. Then the result would be, e Nosiv Shakil, if he would marry her, then he gets the money. The lo Nosiv, if he doesn't marry her, lo Shakil, then he does not get the money. The next few lines we learned already, and before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.